Thank you very much for being here this morning. And Dwight gave you the title of my lesson this morning. And that title actually is, Are You a Lukewarm Christian? And is there such? You know, a lot of times people in life don't want to give their all to God. We're only willing to give a portion of it. We have to be very, very careful in our commitment to Christ, because the word commitment actually means your all, doesn't it? It means you give your all. You give your life to the Christ. But too many times, if the temperature was taken spiritually speaking, it probably would reveal that many of us are not as hot as a child of God as we claim to be. I hope you could say this morning that I'm not really satisfied with what I am. You know, I run into a lot of people in my attempts to study with them about God. And many of them say, well, you know, I'm just satisfied right where I am. And I understand what they're talking about, maybe the church where they're going, or perhaps attending services, and they're content, they're satisfied with what they are. But you know, the Bible teaches that we should never, ever be satisfied. We should always be making that attempt to grow and develop and to become more like Jesus, our Lord. Being a lukewarm Christian is so dangerous because you blend in with everybody and you impact no one. You don't. Now, in the third chapter of the book of Revelation, and especially in those first few chapters, John, the beloved apostle, records the words of Jesus that were delivered unto those seven churches of Asia Minor. And one of them actually was the church at Ephesus. And he says unto them that they are neither cold nor hot. They're only lukewarm, as we've been talking about here this morning. They're not on fire for God. Many of you may remember when you became a child of God that you had a fervor that was second to none. You burned within. You were like Jeremiah of old, who said, there is a fire that is raging within my bones, and I cannot contain it. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could truthfully say that today as God's people? Dwight led the song, Rescue the Perishing. And you know, there's so many that are perishing out in our world today. And the challenge from Jesus Christ to all of us is to go into that lost world and bring men to Jesus. Bring them to the Lord. That's what it really is all about. You know, a lot of churches are just simply to content and satisfied with what they're doing. They're never interested in developing and becoming the full-grown measure of a Christian. But if God was right and Jesus taught the truth, then we cannot be content. We must move forward in our lives with God. It is so true. Let me ask you the question this morning. Are you above or below typical? I hear people say sometimes, well, I just want to be a typical Christian. Sometimes people say, well, I just want to be a nominal Christian. You know what a nominal Christian is? You know what the word nominal actually means? Hardly worth the name. You can look it up. Hardly worth the name. And so when someone says, I want to be a typical Christian, or I want to be a nominal Christian, what you're saying is, I just want to hardly wear the name of Jesus in my life. You can either choose one of two routes this morning. You can either choose the route of the route, actually, of excellence or mediocrity. And I'm afraid that many of them that we call Christians today have chosen the lesser of the two. A lot of people do not want to excel in their relationship with God. Paul the Apostle said, forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forth unto those things that are before, I press forward for the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus my Lord. We must be pressing forward to become the kind of person that God really wants us to be. If you were to look at this graph up here, and did you know that there are a lot of people that are low performers. I don't care what organization it is, whether it's a church, whether it's a civic organization like the Lions Club or the Kiwanis Club or whatever it happens, Rotary. I mean, it could be any number one of them. Actually, there are about 20% of those people are what we call low performers. And then there's about 60% that we call average performers. By the way, the word average, you know what? You ever heard people say, I want to be an average Christian? Just want to be an average Christian? Did you know if you are an average Christian, you are as close to the bottom as you are to the top? You're just somewhere in between. You're not really excelling as a child of God. And the high performers, there's only about 20% of those who do most of the work and get the job done. They're out trying to seek the lost. They come to worship. They honor God with their lives. They give unto God. They serve Him faithfully. And so the question this morning is, where do you lie within this graph? Don't settle for mediocrity or for the middle of the road when you are capable of being someone that is awesome. Someone that is awesome. I told many preacher friends of mine, you know, a lot of them wait till Saturday to try to heat up a lesson maybe that they preached last year, or they'll work up something and try to feed it to the church on Sunday. I said, listen, if you're not interested in preparing a lesson to feed the flock, you need to get out of the pulpit, folks. And I mean it. It's a tragedy that we're not really feeding the flock in many places of our Lord. If that were the case, the church would be growing. The church would be developing. But too often, people lie within these three faces, either good, typical, or poor. Typical actually is a formula for failing in life. You want to fail in life instead of succeed in life, you just determine to be a typical individual like a lot of people. Don't just be good, God says, but be great. You and I have a tremendous challenge before us. And we can either accept that challenge and become all that we can be, or we can accept the concept, well, I'll just do what I want to do and that's all I'm going to do. The typical Christian has wishes and hopes, but the Christian who is devoted to God is a competent individual and they have goals and plans that are going to tell them how they get there. If I were to ask you the question this morning, how are you going to get to heaven? Everybody says they want to get there. They want to go to heaven. What's your initiative or what is your goal? What is your plan for actually arriving in the city that lies four square? We need to get rid of typical and get that out of our vocabulary. God doesn't want us to be typical. In Philippians 1, verse 9 and 10, he says, and this I pray, that your love may abound, he says, still more and more in the knowledge of God and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are, listen to what he says, that you may approve the things that are excellent, and that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Jesus Christ our Lord. There's no room in the body of Jesus for the mediocre Christian, folks. That's why God told the church at Ephesus, listen to what he says. He said, I wish you were either cold or hot. Now, that's from one extreme to the other, isn't it? But he says, but because you're neither cold nor hot, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. That tells me that lukewarm Christianity is distasteful unto God. He spits it out. That tells me that he is saying there is no room. He said, I would that you were either cold or hot, but because you are neither cold nor hot, I will spit you out of my mouth. Do you know that great minds discuss ideas? Mediocre minds discuss events. And small minds discuss other people. If you were to analyze your way of thinking, where are you? Do you discuss ideas? Do you discuss events? Or is most of your talk concerning other people with gossip and running other people down? You know, we have a real problem in this country getting along with each other. You realize that, don't you? When you saw what happened yesterday with the cowardly act of a man who crawled on a building and tried to shoot President Trump. You better get used to that name, too, by the way. President Trump. Thank God for a man who stands for what's right. He's not a middle of the road, nor should we be. We should stand up for what is right and be counted not with those who are mediocre. Mediocre could actually literally mean halfway up the mountain. Halfway up the mountain. You've seen people sometimes, they'll tell you on television how they tried to climb certain mountains, and they got about halfway up, and then they decided they were going to have to come back down. That's the way I see a lot of Christians. They start off with a big bang. Boy, they're ready to go. They're fired up to serve Jesus. And the least little thing can happen, and they start making the trek back down. Middle of the road defined means common. You a common Christian? Are you above common? Commonplace, ordinary, routine? Think about it. In the middle. Standard. Our standards of Christianity are not God's standards, however. Usual. Of a middle quality, indifferent, ordinary, or, as I said, commonplace. Neither very good nor very bad. Ordinary, average, not good enough, or inferior. It's easy to see the appeal of the non-commitment life. I've even talked to Christians and people, maybe they're members of the body of Jesus, who say, well, I'm not interested in giving my whole heart. I'm just interested in kind of getting by. Getting by. You know, kids do that in school, don't they? A lot of people, sometimes people encounter students. If you're a teacher, they may be an A student, but they're not interested in making an A. They're interested in just getting by. And that's the way some people are when it comes to Christianity. It is a thing of, let me just get by. If I can just get in the door of heaven. I'm telling you, folks, as a mediocre Christian, you will never get there. And I'm telling you, that's the Word of God. That's what Jesus said in the book of Revelation chapter 3. It takes less effort to reach subpar standards. So if we accept that which is less than the best, we don't have to put forth a whole lot of effort. Some people do not want to make any effort at all. None. It appeals to those. The non-commitment life. It appeals to those who want instant gratification instead of doing the hard work and achieving real success. I know going to heaven is not based upon my works of merit. In other words, I can't say, God, look at me, I came to church, three times a week, or God, I gave to you faithfully as I should have. God, I reached so many souls. You can't say that to God and expect God to let you into heaven. But you know what those are? If we get to heaven, it'll be the works of faith, all right. But works of faith say, I love God, and I don't have to be coerced into doing it. No one has to twist my arm, but I'm doing it because I love God. And when you're out there working and serving, you know what? Those are rewards that God is going to give you. And Jesus in the book of Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8 said, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man," listen to what he says, "every man according to his works." So anybody who thinks that working for God and serving the Lord doesn't pay dividends, hey, you are sadly mistaken, and you have missed the mark. I'm not here to be a typical Christian. I'm going to tell you something. I determined years ago that I'm not going to be a typical preacher of the gospel. I'm not interested in being anything typical. I'm not. I believe that all of us ought to aspire to higher standards. I'm here to be the best that I can be, not in the middle of the road somewhere. A lot of people are. And their comeback is, "Well, it is what it is." You ever heard people say that? That satisfies it in their mind, but it doesn't satisfy it in the mind of Jehovah God. But that's a wrong concept, folks. It's not of God. When I think about the dangers of the middle of the road, it renders us unfruitful and unproductive based upon the words of Paul in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 9 through 10. It leads to an impulsiveness and impatience, according to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 9 through 12. But that's the middle of the road. It leads to laziness as well. You know why people are lazy? They don't want to be any better than they are. They're content. They're lukewarm. And as long as they're lukewarm, sometimes they just want to get a little inoculation of Christianity. They're not interested in growing in Christ, but just inoculate me. Someone said if most Christians got an inoculation of tired blood, it would revive some. I don't know. Proverbs 6, verse 6 to 11, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, they have no overseer or ruler." Have you ever noticed that? You ever been out and looked at an ant mound lately? I bet you didn't take your hand and rub through it. But have you ever noticed that those ants, I mean, you could stir it with a stick or your foot or what shoe, whatever it happens to be, and boy, they're just going all over the place. They're not following a guide. They're not following a leader. They don't have an overseer or a ruler. They're just going everywhere. They don't know where they're going. Kind of like our country, isn't it? But notice what he says. She has no ruler, no overseer, but provides her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long will you sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou rise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep and a little slumber and a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an unarmed or as an armed man. You know, I don't know what was in the mind of that young man that tried to take our president out yesterday. But I know one thing. He was armed. Perhaps he traveled. Perhaps he thought, "How am I going to do this? How can I be successful at doing this?" Do you know he says that the sluggard is the same way. He is in poverty. He travels around. You know, we have a lot of people that travel around that are in poverty. And they come to the building here, that, you know, not because they're really interested in the church. We have people come here wanting us to pay their light bill, their house payment, their cable bill, their cell phone bill. And they're in poverty, and there is a reason for people being in poverty. You may be born into poverty, but you don't have to live there. You make life better. You start serving God, and I'm telling you, God will lead you to greater heights. Life will be better. Otherwise, you'll be as someone who travels about from here to here to here to here, one town to the next town, abusing churches and making them feel guilty because they don't do what you want them to do. And your want will be like an armed man. Sometimes people justify themselves by using the wrong comparison. Have you ever noticed that people, when they compare themselves, they generally compare themselves who are doing less than they're doing, not more than they're doing. They compare themselves to people that are doing less. Why don't we start comparing ourselves to those who do more and let that be a challenge to us to rise from where we are, 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. For the Lord will not accept that kind of standard, Malachi chapter 1 and verse 8. Listen to it. And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? For instance, if you were in Jerusalem and you were getting ready to offer a sacrifice unto God and it was going to be a lamb, would you go and pick out the lamb that is blind? Or would you pick out the lamb that is without spot? That's what God did. He sent the lamb without spot. And John said in John 1 and verse 29, Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. But if you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Sure it is. It's not what God called for. Offer it now unto thy governor. Will it be pleased with thee or accept thy person? Saith the Lord of hosts, you know it's not going to be. Such an attitude sickens the Lord. How serious matters, folks, when God says, you know, when you don't give me your whole heart, I'll spew it out. When you don't give God your best, He won't give you His best. I've told you before, you want God to bless you, you bless Him. For Psalms 103 says, David said, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and bless the Lord with all that is within me. How in the name of heaven do you bless God? You bless God by living for Him, by honoring Him, by wearing His name, by giving your best to your God who is in heaven. I know your works, Jesus said, that thou art neither cold nor hot, and I would that you were either cold or hot. But because you're just simply lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. You see, our God demands excellence. You know what? The reason He does is because He is an excellent God. Psalms chapter 8, David said, How excellent is thy name, O Lord! There's a song we sing in our songbook called, O Lord, Our Lord. And it says, How excellent is thy name. David even declared his works. Psalms 150 and verse 2. As works that are excellent. God makes no mistakes. He doesn't. His promises are excellent according to 2 Peter 1 verse 2 and following. God doesn't promise you something that is less than His best. His promises are always the best. And He invites us to excellence, John 10 and verse 10. I've come that they might have life and that they might have it more excellently, more abundantly. For the excellent life is quite different from the lukewarm. And it means to do your best. Sometimes parents will challenge their children to do their best in school. Do you have to make an A? No, if you're not an A student, you don't have to make an A. You have to make a B? No, if you're not a B student. But if the capability is there, then yes. Because God demands our best. It means to excel, to rise, to surpass, or to project ourselves out or from something else. To be better or greater than, to be superior to another or others. Did you know in the book of Romans chapter 12, the Bible says that a man's not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think? Some people interpret that to say, well, that just tells you, you can't love yourself. No, you can love yourself. For Jesus said, the first commandment is this, that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And he said, the second is likened to it, that you love your neighbor as yourself. You love yourself, nothing wrong with loving self. Nothing wrong with being superior. If someone is really working and he's putting all into what he is doing to become better and to make the world a better place in which to live, thank God for that individual. And I'm telling you, there's nothing wrong with thinking highly of yourself. He didn't say it's wrong to think highly. He said, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to. If you're serving God today and you're honoring Him with your life, you're giving your best, you have every reason in the world to think highly of yourself. You're far above the average. Don't be typical. Be excellent. Don't be lukewarm. That's just average. God never said you had to be the best. He just said to do your best. Live your best. God desires your best. He desires your best faith in God. People say sometimes, oh, I got faith in God. I look at the way they live and I think, boy, his faith is shallow. I look at it like Jesus looked at many in his day and he said, oh, ye of little faith. Matthew 17 and verse 20. God desires your best love. In Matthew 5, 43 through 48, love your enemies and pray for them that despitefully use you and speak all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. For great is your reward that is in heaven. Your best love and your best servant. Matthew 25, 21. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, listen to this now, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. That tells me there's a way to do it where it is unacceptable. But we do it in an acceptable way. God desires your best in all things. Your best in relationships. Quit fighting and quit warring and quit thinking the worst of people. But in your relationship, Colossians chapter 3, you must make your relationships right. And give as God has given unto us. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 3 through 5. In the way you live. How do you live day by day? How do you live when you leave the church building on Sunday morning? That's an indication of how strong your faith is. And it's an indication of how strong your relationship with the church is and with God Himself. Ephesians 4 and verse 1. We must rise above where we are and learn to appreciate excellence in everything, according to Hebrews 8 and verse 6. We must rise above the middle. Imitate the excellence of others, Hebrews 6 and verse 12. For he says in verse 1 and following, when for the time you ought to be teachers of the word of God, you have need that someone teach you, which be the very first principles of the oracles of God. We must go on to perfection, he says. That says something to me. That tells me that when we're endeavoring to go on to perfection, that the middle of the road is unacceptable. And we must encourage excellence in other people as well. I don't get up here and encourage you to do less than your best. I'm not going to do that. Now, you may find a preacher that would help you salve your conscience, but I'm not interested in salving your conscience. I'm interested in helping you develop a conscience that is free from offense and a conscience that is clean before God. Jesus says to the lukewarm, return to your first love. And it's possible that we all stray away from God at times. We have to come back to God and ask for forgiveness. And Lord, help me to redirect my step. Maybe you're not a Christian this morning and you need to begin your walk with Christ. Why are you waiting? Why wouldn't you do it now? Why wouldn't you do it today? Tomorrow may never come. Our departure from this world could be very quick. And all you had in your heart were good intentions. Not good works. Good intentions. But you never got around to it. Maybe you wandered far away from God, is a song that we're going to sing this morning as our invitation song. I've wandered far away from God, but Lord, I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod, but Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home, coming home. Never more to roam. The paths of sin I've given up. And now I'm coming home. And all those who refuse to follow Jesus are traveling the broad way. And I would remind you of what Jesus said about the broad way. In the book of Matthew 7, verse 13 and following, he said, strive to enter in the straight gate. For straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads unto life. And few there be that find it. But broad is the way, and wide is the gate that leads to destruction. And many there be that go therein. You know what the Broadway represents? The people who give less than their best. It's the person who wants to be the typical Christian, the nominal Christian, the average Christian, the mediocre Christian, the lukewarm Christian. If you're not willing to give your all to Jesus, I wouldn't appeal to you to come to Christ, because you come with false pretenses. But if you're here this morning and you really want to make a commitment to Christ, we stand ready to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and to raise you and allow Christ to redeem you through his precious blood. And if you've strayed away from God, you didn't mean to get where you are right now, but you know you're away from God because you haven't been living for the Master and our Lord and Savior, then I encourage you, I challenge you, and I do the best I can to motivate you to come to Christ right now while we stand and while we sing.